Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 110. 110, we sing the whole of Psalm number 110. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. Psalm 110. Eternal God, most high, most holy, we have been reminded of the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the King eternal upon his throne, that he is the one appointed by God the Father. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The exaltation of Christ, the sovereign reign that is given to him and that he exercises indeed in the interests of his church, ruling all things for the good of his people, his body, the church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are conscious, Heavenly Father, that these doctrines of Christianity are beyond our full understanding, that they are beyond the normal conversation and thinking of the world, that they are beyond the researches of science and the highest aspirations and insights of the philosophers, that they are beyond all creaturely understanding ultimately, and the angels look on into these things. The suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow is a source of amazement and admiration to the angels, those perfect sinless creatures whose minds have never been sullied by sin, whose character has never been deviated, whose desire is always to serve and to stand before the Lord to do his bidding. And to them the gospel is an astonishing thing, that for the fallen sons of Adam there should be a redemption, and a redemption wrought out in such a cost, the suffering of Christ, and to such an end, the glory that should follow. We recognize, Lord, that there are no such provisions made for the angels who left their first estate and who fell into sin. No provision, no angelic representative given on their behalf to do a work of reconciliation and restoration. But for us creatures upon the earth, such a provision has been made. We read of it in the scripture. It is called the gospel, the good news. It concerns the person and the work of one Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Saviour of the lost, the friend of publicans and sinners, the one who humbled himself from heaven's glory, the one who, although he was rich with all the everlasting riches and possessions of his divine nature, yet he became poor as a man for our sakes, that we, through his very poverty, that we might be made rich, rich in faith, rich in hope, rich in love, rich in the inheritance of all that God has promised to be the possession of his people, the rich inheritance of the Father for his children. Heavenly Father, we stand all amazed, or we should. We sometimes are cold-hearted listening to these things. We are sometimes not only cold-hearted, but almost indifferent. And alas, we sometimes tend to regard the gospel not as a source of joy and a source of assurance of God's great love to us, but a source of argument, a source of division, a source of fine distinctions and theological acumens. Important as these things are, we sometimes give to these argumentative aspects a place that is never given to these great truths in the scripture. And so this morning as we gather, we pray that we would listen afresh to the message of Jesus Christ, knowing that this is our only hope, the hope of the world, the hope for Israel, the hope for all who would read the scriptures and listen in with us this morning. Help us then, we pray, to gather around the scriptures with hungry hearts, with alert and intelligent minds, with a desire, as the psalmist had the desire long ago, to hear what God the Lord would speak. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that God is speaking and that there is in the written word a living voice speaking to us out of the scriptures, God's word. Hear the word of the Lord. Always the scripture, the word of God that has come to us, that it cannot be broken. What the scripture says, God says. And what God says, he says to us in these days, only in the scriptures and understood and received properly only by the Holy Spirit. Help us then, we pray, to gather in the courts of God's house this morning and to come with that worshipful spirit and a sense of our indebtedness to God, humility in his presence, reverence and godly fear, and coming in the beauty of holiness, looking unto Jesus, listening always for that word which would be instruction, rebuke, encouragement, perhaps even a challenge to us, but always the word of God that is intended to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Our hearts are waiting, O God. Our souls are hungry for God. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us up, that we would be content with the portion of this morning's message. This is our prayer as we confess our sins, our weaknesses, our waywardness, our need of mercy yet again, and our need for grace always yet again to help us in our times of need. This is our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read now in the Acts of the Apostles in the second chapter, and we're going to read from verse number 14. We can read the opening verses of chapter 2 in the Acts of the Apostles just to get the general context. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then follows the response of those who heard, and we pick up the narrative at verse 14. The crowd generally were amazed, we're told. They were in doubt. They were in a disagreement as to what these things were meaning. Some even said that these men are full of new wine, the mockers. They thought that the apostles were drunk. And at verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That's about 9 o'clock or so in the morning, we think. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonder in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, or in the grave, in Hades. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God hath raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made him to be both Lord and Christ. And so on. Amen. Now, the notices, of course, are the usual ones. The evening service at 6 o'clock, the Wednesday meeting at 7 p.m., and next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., and the closure continues, as far as we know, for perhaps another month or 6 weeks or something like that before we're able to gather together again, with crowds up to 100 apparently. But we'll wait upon what happens. So we encourage our hearers, as always, to continue to listen. There's nothing more important than hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, faith continues by hearing. And it is the preaching of the word that holds congregations together. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do duty for the hearing and the proclamation of the word. There's nothing that is more fundamental, strengthening and saving in the whole of Christianity than the preaching of the gospel. And that's what we encourage you to continue to attend to. So we encourage you to listen in, and we welcome always, are glad to know that visitors are listening and joining with us, and we do welcome you to the word. And the offerings, we are encouraged by the offerings, and once again, these are free will offerings, there's no compulsion, and give as you're able and as you're willing. That's the principle of the scripture. As God has prospered us, let us contribute to the work of God in the world. These are the notices, and we shall sing now to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 16. In Psalm 16, we sing verses 1 to 5.